Thank you very much, Rabbi Shammah, for the kind words of introduction. To be more precise, I believe what I told Rabbi Shammah was this is a very sensitive presentation rather than a special presentation. And that's what it is. And I warned you beforehand that we're dealing with the largest issues, the Karim themselves, the principles of the Jewish faith. And that alone drives me in making this presentation. You will not hear any apikorsis if I can help it, but we're going to raise very important questions, fundamental questions that don't ordinarily get raised in public. Nonetheless, I was involved in the event of some proportions which have never been described in literature, and the time comes when it should be discussed publicly. I believe that Rabbi Shammah was also involved, perhaps indirectly, if not directly, in what I'm about to describe. Meanwhile, we are going to investigate one of the 13 principles of the Jewish faith, the principle of Torah Min HaShamayim. There's no better way of starting than beginning with the Rambam, and this is in the Rambam's commentary on Mishnah Sanhedrin, Perek Helek, where the Rambam lists the 13 principles of the Jewish faith. I will read it in Hebrew in a very precise translation from the Arabic, or Joseph Kopic, and then I will read a brief English translation as it was published by Professor Tversky. The translation does not quite capture the Hebrew, so those of you who are Hebraists, listen carefully to the Hebrew. Hayesod hashmini hu Torah min hashamayim, והוא שנאמין שכל התורה הזה הנמצאת בידינו היום הזה היא התורה שניתנה למשה. ושהיא כולה מפי הגבורה, כלומר שהגיעה אליו כולה מעת השם, הגעה שקוראים אותה על דרך ההשאלה דיבור. ואין יודע איכות אותה ההגעה, אלא הוא עליו השלום אשר הגיע אליו. ושהוא במעלת מבלר שקוראים לפניו והוא כותב כולה תאריכיה, סיפוריה ומצוותיה וכך נקרא מחוקה. ואין הבדל בין ובני חם, חוש ומצרים ופות וכנען, ושם אשתו מהי תבל בת מדרי, או אנוכי השם אלוקיך. ושמע ישראל השם אלוקינו השם אחד. הכל מפי הגבורה, והכל תורת השם תמימה, טהורה, קדושה, אמת. לא נשא מנשה אצלם כופר ופוקר יותר מכל כופר אחר, אלא לפי שחשב שיש בתורה טוב ופליטה, ושאלו התאריכים והסיפורים אין תועלת בהם, ומשה מדעתו אמרם. וזהו עניין תורה מן השמיים. As it's translated in Maimonides reading, edited by Professor Isidore Tversky, reads as follows. The eighth fundamental principle is that the Torah came from God. We are to believe that the whole Torah was given us through Moses, our teacher, entirely from God. When we call the Torah God's word, we speak metaphorically. We do not know exactly how it reached us, but only that it came to us through Moses, who acted like a secretary, taking dictation. He wrote down the events of the time and the commandments, for which reason he is called the Mechokeh, the lawgiver, translated here. There is no distinction between a verse of scripture like the sons of Ham or Cush and Mitzrayim, or his wife's name was Mehetabel and his concubine was Timnah, and the verse, I am the Lord your God, or the verse, Hear, O Israel. All came from God, and all are the Torah of God, perfect, pure, holy, and true. Anyone who says Moses wrote some passages on his own is regarded by our sages as an atheist, or the worst kind of heretic, because he tries to distinguish essence from accident in Torah. Such a heretic claims that some historical passages or stories are trivial inventions of Moses and not divine revelation. If you went to a Jewish bookshop and tried to acquire a handbook on the fundamentals of the Jewish faith, the standard work in print now is a book by a distinguished rabbi, Rabbi J. David Blyke. Its title is With Perfect Faith, The Foundations of Jewish Belief. And here is Rabbi Gleick's formulation of Torah Min HaShamayim. The eighth principle embodies two distinct concepts. The first concept expressed in this principle is that the Torah, in its entirety, was handed down by God to Moses. The phrase, quote, "the whole of this Torah found in our hands," unquote, he's quoting Rambam, is crucial to the formulation of this concept. This principle affirms not simply the validity of the Misorah, the tradition which postulates that the Torah was transmitted by Moses, but also the belief that the Torah, which is in our possession, was handed down by Moses in its entirety, and that no additions or changes were made at any subsequent time. The Talmud, Sanhedrin 99a, declares that denial of the divine origin of a single word or letter of the Torah is tantamount to rejection of the Torah in its entirety. This principle is, in effect, an affirmation of the authenticity of the Masoretic text. It is indeed remarkable that despite the vicissitudes of time, the many upheavals and wanderings to which the Jewish nation has been subjected, the scrolls of the law in the possession of even the most far-flung and widely separated Jewish communities are identical in virtually every respect. The variant spellings of the word Daka in Deuteronomy 23:2 are the exception which proves the rule. The word is spelled with an aleph in many Torah scrolls in Western Jews, but with a hey in Oriental scrolls. A variation of textual significance only, but one which is of no significance whatsoever in terms of cognitive meaning. So, Rabbi Gleick. In 1975, a great Talmud Chacham, his name was Rabbi Yitzchak Shimshon Lange, who had published many Sifrei Kodesh, specifically Rishonim, Hoschot Harosh, published editions of the Meiri. Anyone who owns a set of the Meiri's commentaries on the Talmud has in that set several volumes that were edited by a Swiss scholar, a Jewish scholar from Zurich, Rabbi Yitzchak Shimshon Lange, who is no longer among the living. About the middle of the 70s, he also went on Aliyah and would spend some time in Zurich, but most of the time in Eretz Yisrael, and he would travel back and forth between Yerushalayim, Medrak, and Zurich. Since he was always publishing Sifrei Kodesh, he knew many Talmidei Chachamim, many famous rabbis. And on one of his visits to Zurich, he was meeting with one of the chief rabbis of Zurich. And the rabbi, as usual, asked him, "Tell me, what are you working on these days?" And the Rabbi Lange said, "I discovered a marvelous manuscript, written by the son of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is a Rishon. He lived in Germany, in Regensburg, in the 12th century. He was one of the great leaders of a pietistic movement known as the Jewish Hasidic movement, not to be confused with the Hasidic movement founded much later by the Baal Shem Tov. Yehuda Chassid had a disciple, a very famous disciple, Rabbi Elezer Rokeach, among others. Yehuda Chassid has left us many writings, the most famous of which is called Sefer Chassidim, and it has appeared in many editions with many commentaries, including the commentary of the Chidah, and it's a classic book used by all Jews, one of the great Musar Sfarim of all time. What no one knew was that there was also a Perush HaTorah by Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, only it wasn't written by Rabbi Yehuda Chassid himself, it was recorded by his son. He had a son by the name of Rabbi Moshe Zolfman. We all knew about his son, but this son used to study with his father every Shabbat, and especially at Mincha, Shalashudas, the father used to say Torah. That is, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid used to say Perushim on Parshat HaShavua and the Haftarah and so on. Motzei Shabbat, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid's son would record what he heard his father say. And this is found in several manuscripts in the famous collections of Jewish manuscripts at Oxford, the Bodleian Library, and at what they call the British Library in London. Rabbi Lange, who frequented these libraries, was an expert in ancient manuscripts, found these manuscripts by the son of Yehuda Hasid. He could date these manuscripts not only by dates written in the manuscripts, but by the script, by the hand. There was no question that this was the hand of a Rishon, someone living perhaps in the 12th or 13th century. And so he told the rabbi, I have this Perush al HaTorah of Rabbi Yehuda Hasid, and I'm about to publish it. The rabbi in Zurich said to him, I'd like to see it. Could you show me your typewritten copy of the manuscript? The rabbi Lander said, fine, why not? And he showed it to the rabbi. The rabbi read the sefer and was astounded and said, this sefer is a sefer of apikursis. It could not have been written by Rabbi Yehuda Hasid. Probably wasn't written by the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hasid either. And some forger forged this manuscript, or at the very least, entered passages into manuscript that can only be described as forged. Rabbi Langer shrugged his shoulders. Rabbi Langer said, I've been working with manuscripts my whole life. I know how to recognize a manuscript when I see one, especially an authentic manuscript. And I'm publishing this. I worked many years on it. It's Torah of the Rishonim. I have no right to suppress Torah. I'm publishing. When the rabbi of Zurich heard that, he immediately sent telegrams and made telephone calls to the Gedolei Hador. Several of these calls went to Eretz Yisrael, to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Sheyichya, to Rabbi El Yashiv, Sheyichya, and other calls came to the United States, and specifically to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Zeche Tzadik Livracha. With that background, we are prepared to examine the text that you should all have in front of you. Let's do it. Now, I'll only read key excerpts together with you so that you see the major arguments. And then what I'd like to do is, once we finish reading the text, or the parts that we're going to look at, you're free to hold it in front of you and read the entire text. This is the entire extent of the Tshuvot of Rav Moshe Feinstein on this issue. Nothing else is available. After we read the text, so we have all the evidence in front of us, what I'd like to do is engage in an analysis of the issues raised by the Perush HaTorah of Rabbi Yehuda Hasid and by these Tshuvot of Rav Moshe. Now, this I'll read in Ashkenazic Hebrew because that's how it was written. It was written by Rav Moshe Feinstein, so I'll read it as it's written. If you have any problems, stop me and I'll try to explain what it says. Dvar Perush HaTorah Hamiuchos for Rabbi Yehuda Hasid. Bezer Shashem, Kokhes Adler Rishon, Kokshin Lamed Vav. This translates into February 1976. You have to remember also, this is toward the end. Moshe is by now an old man, as he will tell you immediately, he's not well as he writes this to. Malas Krod, Kokhei Adler Rishon, Kokshin Lamed Vav. Malas Krod, Givi Harav Adon, Reno Rav Daniel Levi, Shlita, Al Bezvin, Kivas Adas Yishurun Yitzir. So it is addressed to the chief rabbi of Zurich, the rabbi who was a friend of Ramanda, and who alerted Rav Moshe Feinstein to the problem that was about to occur. Me'atar shekibalti badorah shel esmol od michtav eich shemar ploni mis'akeish lehotzi es ha-sefer shehu al-shem Rav Yehuda Hasid. Since I received another letter yesterday, probably from Rabbi Levi, describing how Mar Ploni, that's Rabbi Manga, how Rabbi Langer insists on publishing this sefer, Shehu Al-Shem Rav Yehuda Hasid, Kemo Shehu. He will publish it exactly as he found it in the manuscript. Mukhrach amin v'hashir pechef av shelo makel kol kach mitzad kul shosi v'eis ato Hashem yichaskein. I have no choice but to immediately respond, despite the fact that I am ill now and not well. May God heal me and give me strength. This is a pasuk in the Torah, Parshat Shlach, Numbers 15:31. Somebody despises the word of God. Anyone who says that the Torah is not divinely inspired, he is one who is guilty of despising the word of the Lord. V'afilu amar kol ha-torah kulo min ha-shamayim chutz mi-posuk zeh shelo amoro ha-kodesh baruch hu ha-moshim fi atzmo zehu k'dvar Hashem bazeh. And even if he denies one pasuk of the Torah and claims that Moses wrote that verse on his own rather than being divinely inspired, he is in violation of the verse Dvar Hashem Bazar. Muhu ha-bethir sh-Rambam yisod ha-shmini sh-Moshe ha-yirakoseh ma-sh-nikrlo mi-ti-avulo l-tifat nikrlo m-kokeh. So Rav Moshe cites a Gemara in Sanhedrin. He cites what I opened with, the Rambam's words with regard to what is the eighth principle of Jewish faith. He continues, V'din hefresh fein u'vnecha mu'kush mitzrayim v'shein ishto me'itaveh v'sim nahar sofi legesh u'vein anokhi Hashem elokecha v'shma Yisrael ki ha'kol v'ki ha'guruch. The Jewish came to the Balasar, the Tesla, the Lekor Machlokes, Vina Tanoim, Oshmona, Psukim Elo, Shulor of Yehuda, the Amidol of Nathania, Kosvan Yehoshua, Gan came to their Hezer. Now, Rav Moshe finds things well aware that there is one serious problem with this Gemara in Sanhedrin and with the Rambam's formulation, and that is that elsewhere in the Gemara, in the Sefes Menachos and in the Sefes Balabasra, the Gemara describes a debate between various Amoraim as to who wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah, Anayim and Amorim. Yehudah and Nehemiah say that the last eight psukim, which describe the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, could not have been written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and these were written by Yehoshua. Well, it's clear that there's a view in the Gemara that it is possible for some psukim in the Torah not to have been written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav Moshe addresses that immediately. Rav Moshe says, he's of course well aware of that, and he says even that opinion, first of all, is a major opinion, perhaps, that says that Moshe wrote the last eight verses as well. But even according to the minority view that the last eight psukim were written by Yehoshua, it's still the derech hazeh shakodesh baruch hu amar kol teva v'teva v'os v'os. Every word and every letter was revealed by God, and therefore it is divinely inspired. The Rabbi Shimon dam haches psukim koskon Moshe. Rabbi Shimon's view is the last eight psukim anyway were written by Moshe, so there's certainly no problem. Yisa came to Rambam, Paradigm, with his tshuva, halachotes, omer, she'en ha-torah, me'im ha-shem, afilu posuk echod, afilu teva achas, and omar, Moshe, amoro, mi'ki atzmo, ha-reze, kofir, b'torah. Rav Moshe cites another passage of the Rambam. This is from the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam's code, where the Rambam says, again, specifically, that anyone who claims that Moses wrote a verse in the Torah by himself, even one word, by himself, his own steam, such a person is a kofer b'Torah. I want to skip down a few lines to the line beginning with the Nedarim Daf Lamed Zayin. Have it? A few lines to the line beginning with the Nedarim Daf Lamed Zayin. Promotion continues. Yecheini hefshar l'shum adam aklo l'navi l'haksir afilo os achas v'im chiser os achas o yiter os achas. So no one's allowed to add letters or detract letters from the Torah. Even a prophet can't do this. No one can change an iota in the Torah. In the Furish Rambam, Perek Yud, Vihukol Sefer Torah, Halakha Aleph. Machmas She'en Onu Bikiyin B'chaseros V'yaseros. As you know, in the Torah, words are spelled sometimes defectively, that is, without the Vav or Yud. Sometimes they're spelled fully with the Vav or Yud. David, not in the Torah, but in the Yom Tzuvim. The name David, King David, is sometimes spelled Dalet Vav Dalet, and sometimes it's spelled Dalet Vav Yud Dalet. Whether that Yud is there or not is what is meant by Choser and Moler. The Gemara tells us in the Sefer Kiddushin that we are no longer expert in such matters. In other words, while we believe that the Torah and the Tanakh that we have is divinely inspired, it was preserved by the Nevi'im, and so on and so forth, we admit that with regard to these little letters, Yud and Vav, in the middle of the word, we no longer are expert in these matters. So now Moshe has another problem after the rest of it, and that's immediately. The Gemara says we're no longer expert when there's a yud or above in the middle of the word, so then we're not so certain how you spell words. So Moshe addresses that, and Moshe says, since we're not expert in chaseros, chiseros, chenisim, kedushin, aflamin, ein kashu sefer Torah shalonu gruro kolkach. Therefore, the halacha is that indeed we're never certain that our sacred Torah is really a kosher sacred Torah. We might have an extra yud, we might be missing a yud, we might have an extra vav, and so on. But the yikra mitzad zeh chiluk ledina, this has implications for halakha, the Moshe says, Shavil Paseros, Yaseros, Vishalekwa Shini Berinyan, Ramifa, Engotsin, and Sacred Torah Akheros. Yusuf Ramah, Rafayan Simukuk Nandimu Sitah. Therefore, this is the halakha. If you are called up to the Torah, you have an aliyah, and you notice that a vav or a yud is missing from the middle of a word, a vav or a yud is not part of the root of the letter, it's not a consonant, it's a vowel letter, that's the case, then we do not close the sacred Torah and bring out another sacred Torah. But we're not sure that the second sacred Torah is better than the first sacred Torah. We're not expert in Haseros and Haseros. However, if we're missing a vav or a yud in such a place where it changes the pronunciation of the word or the meaning of the word, then we would take out a sacred Torah. That's the halakha. Yafa the kudos of the Torah, shein bo ham tzul, bein in mom natsula, some of the kudos of the sacred Torah, bein in nimtzay, some of the kudos, shein tzuchin, nam bi osur, remosha mizu hakila. And even, and maybe you all know, I take it, there are places in the Torah where we have dots above certain words, and these dots are there, Allah for the motion of Sinai, these dots have to be there. On the other hand, supposing you're missing those dots, or supposing you put dots where they don't belong, the motion addresses that. And the Khatila, at least, the halakha is, the sacred Torah is puzzled, if it has dots where they shouldn't be, or if it doesn't have the dots that it should have. I am Piske Tosos, Menachos, Sima Reish, Lama Aleph, Kishikosav Ezra HaTorah, Asa Nekuda. When Ezra wrote the Torah, he put in dots. Omar and Yomar Moshe Loma Matadita Oshiv Haloma Fakti. Who brings the Bible to Rabbi Nelson Tarek Lamandala? The Lashon Acher Shehu Girsa Mutes. Now we come to very sensitive things. There is a passage in Avos to Rabbi Nelson, and that is what the Moshe Feinstein is presenting here. Amazing passage. And Avos to Rabbi Nelson is a Tanaic Midrash. Here is what it says in the Avos to Rabbi Nelson. It lists all the psukim in the Torah that have dots on them. Then it says as follows: Zulama nakud akol otiyot halalu. Why are there dots on these words in the Torah? Elakacha mar Ezra. Ezra put in the dots apparently. And Ezra said as follows: Im yavo Eliyahu yomar lama katapka. Should Eliyahu come and ask me why did you write these words in the Torah? Omer ani lo kvar nikadeti alei. Ezra said, I will answer, that's why I put the dots there. Im yomar li yafte katapta, and if Eliyahu HaNavi should come and say, you did well in writing these words, hareini misalek yukudo tehen me'alehen, then I will remove the dots. The meaning of this, just, and this is all the Mepharshim understood very clearly and very quickly, you look in the Mepharshim on Avot Rabbi Natan, is there was an ancient practice when you have doubts about whether a word or a letter should be in a text. It was a practice in ancient literature, you know this in Greek literature and in Hebrew literature, and even from the Dead Sea Scrolls as well. You put dots on top of all letters if you had doubts as to whether the letters should be there or not. What this says is, Ezra put in certain letters in the Torah, and he said, he put dots on top of them. He said, should a Navi come, Eliyahu HaNavi, and tell me that these letters really weren't written by Moshe, they shouldn't be here. If that's the case, my answer will be, that's why I put the dots there. And if he tells me that it's really the letters of Moshe Rabbeinu which belongs here, I will remove the dots. In any event, here you see that the Avot Rabbi Natan makes it very clear that Ezra was prepared to put letters in the Torah, was prepared to remove dots. We just read that Al-Halki Halakha, that can't be done. Which Rabbi Moshe responds, and this is that Moshe was the Gadol Hador in America, rightly so. And one reason was because he was not afraid to pasken halacha. He was bold and he had the courage to make decisions. And here you have a sample of the boldness of Rabbi Moshe, because he has a midrashic passage in Avot Rabbi Natan, which does not fit in to the scheme that we have till now, and the Rabbi Moshe say very openly, "Hu girsa mut'ei." This is an erroneous text. You've got to correct the text of Avot Rabbi Natan. Shemita Amar Ezra, and I just read the text to you. Vuhu ta'ut barur, I'm about three lines down. This is an error, the Moshe says. Shekivat ha-tevot shevotera lo shayach, shemishalu, lama kaslan, bahare Moshe miki avura kaslan. How can you even ask, did Moshe write these letters? Didn't Moshe write these letters? We have a principle that every letter of the Torah, as we have it, was written by him. Moshe Rabbeinu, as it was dictated to him, by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Moshe then is aware of the fact, however, that the Mefarshim on the Lotar of the Matan understood it exactly as the Girsa Mutei, because what the Moshe is saying is an error. So now I move several lines down, beginning with the Ayin Mem Shinvav. Ayin Mashakosa B'Vinyan Yehoshua. Take a look at the parish of Binyan Yehoshua on Ogos Gerben Dosan. Binyan Yehoshua lived in the 18th century. He was a great Talmud Chacham. He was a Talmud of Reb Zera Eidlitz, one of the great Rabbonim in Prague, who himself was a Talmud of Reb Yonasan Eidlitz, the Tracy of Placy. And the Binyan Yehoshua writes in his parish exactly what I explained to you orally, namely that what it means is whenever you have a dot on top of a letter, it means you're not sure that the letter should be there, and you then become certain that the letter should be there, you remove the dot, and so on. So the Moshe says, the Binyan Yehoshua, in the Horeb, Shemal Nitnu Lehayomer. You're not allowed to say what he says. So the eldest Reb Nosson needs to be corrected. The Perushim are wrong. She Ezra HaSofer lo tikein shum davar, v'shum mod v'shum olam, v'yukha l'shanos shum davar. Ve'ele ha-mitzvos, there is a pasuk in Vayikra, Parshas Pekukosai, the last pasuk of Vayikra, these are the mitzvos, no other mitzvos can be added. She'ena novi rashoi v'padei davar, that a novi can't come with any new innovations. The im al menatz pach, lomar hei be'emtza teva, hei be'sof teva, kutshad mora. If the Gemara says in Megillah that it's not even possible for a novi to determine those letters that have two forms, one in the middle of the word, the beginning of the word, and one at the end of the word, the letters menatz pach, the Gemara says that a novi wasn't even allowed to make the decision as to which form should be in the middle of the word, which form should be at the end of the word. It has to be as it was received by Moshe at Sinai. Well, if that's the case, then certainly no Navi can talk about entering letters or removing letters or dots from the Torah. A few lines further down, Chaslon Lomar, three lines from the bottom of the paragraph, Vishori Le More Le Bal Bin Yehoshua, May Hashem, May HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgive the Bin Yehoshua for what he said, Avo Poshut Shehu Girsa Mutes, the whole of us Reb Nosson is an error, and it can't be taken series. We turn to the next page, the end of this first tshuva. There are two tshuvot by Reb Moshe. We're now at the end of the first tshuva. Let's get to the Pesach Halot. So Reb Moshe read this, was alerted about the Perush review of Hasid al HaTorah. Reb Moshe was told about the passages in it that raise issues of Kfirah. Reb Moshe rules that it is Kfirah because these passages suggest that certain words were added to the Torah by others rather than Moshe Rabbeinu. We now go to the bottom of the first column, the paragraph beginning the Chayim Mashe Chosav, and about the middle of the paragraph the word Kfirah. We have in the middle of the paragraph the word Kfirah, the code of Nebuah. We pick up right after the word Nebuah. The Kfar Hevi, the Ibn Ezra, which is the great Sephardic commentator and poet, Rabbi Abraham Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra me'apikores echa b'shem Yitzchoki. Ibn Ezra cites a famous apikores. This is at Genesis 36:31, named Yitzchoki. She'amar k'dimeyo shafat mikhtava zos ha'parsha. There was an apikores in the medieval period who said that a parsha in the Torah, Genesis 36, the one that has the verse Me'ei Tavel and so on, these are the kings that rule, etc. in Edom. The apikores said all this was written in the post-Mosaic period. Ibn Ezra cites this apikores, and Ibn Ezra says, with regard to the Yitzchoki, Kol HaShomea Yitzchak Lo. Anyone who hears what he says, will laugh. Ibn Ezra says more than that, as we'll see in a minute. Masiko Ibn Ezra, Chalila Chalila, Shehu Kamo Shemidera, Rabbi Yemei Yehoshafar, heaven forbid that it should be as Yitzchoki suggested, that that parsha was written in the time of the king Yehoshafar, which of course is long after Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sifro Roi Yitzchoki. So Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra actually said that one should burn the book of Yitzchoki. Nimtzah, says Reb Moshe, Shekvar hu din pasuk. It is already pasuk here, as we would say, Nifsak. It is already a psak halacha, din pasuk. May Ibn Ezra, Shetzorek, Lisro, Sefer Tzeh. A book that contains after verses needs to be made. Reich Natis Ato Mechodosh Svarim Acherim. So if that's the halacha as already stated by Ibn Ezra, how can we now begin publishing new books that never have even appeared in print that contain apikus? The Sefer Zeh Od Garua, Ki Harei HaKofrim, Harishon, Zifu Zeh, so Sefer Shemikro Hashem Yudah Pasuk. In fact, in this case, what Rabbi Langer is trying to publish is worse than anything that was ever done in history, because this is a clear falsification It is a ziyut that somebody ascribed to Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Someone wrote out the Kursus and didn't write it under his own name, but is actually producing out the Kursus in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, which of course can't be done, is misleading, and Rabbi Moshe will not allow that. Okay, Pashu, she also will have to say, Prezer, this sefer may not be published. Well, Garua, whom is sefer Minyan, Shashem Hamin, I'm a father of Pasuvel, it's worse than Harris theoretical books, or at least we know that the author is a heretic, and the name of the author is the name of the famous heretic. Shaharde, Apilu, Yipshute, Ya'amlo, Ya'minu, Loze, most people will not buy books by heretics, although Shashem, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, Chassid, Yishlochu, Shadam Yosef, Yitu, Ve'yosu, Kofrim, Deporah, Yubezer, Jews will be misled and become heretics for reading this book. But they borrow, Shosu, Yisra, Yosef, Godol, the Machti, Yisarab. The entire book shouldn't be printed, not just the few passages, there were three originally that were discovered. The three passages are problematic, the whole sefer should not be printed. Last paragraph. Acharei Kosri, after I wrote this whole tshuva, and I got to the last paragraph, Tisigu HaSefer Tsiyumi, Shomer B'Makin Tsiyumi, it was brought to my attention that there is a sefer called Tsiyumi, by a Rishon, one of the great Gedolei Ashkenaz, his name was Rabbi Menachem Tsiyumi. He lived in the 14th century. Amatsosi, Masha Omar Plomi, Omar Lachem, Shemegi, Zed Hashem, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Now you'll see how serious this all becomes. I have with me a sefer Tsiyumi, written in the 14th century. It was one of the first from the public. After printing was invented, it was printed in Cremona early in the 1500s, and reprinted many times since then with Haskamot of the most famous Gedolim. And in this book, which was written in the 14th century, this was an Ashkenazi, who belonged to the school of Hasidei Ashkenaz, and therefore had copies and manuscripts, as he only could, there were no printed books in his lifetime, of the Torah of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. He cites Divrei Torah in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. And he cites those very passages that Rabbi Moshe labeled as apokryphal. They're already in print. They're all already available. The name has a sperm library of 5,000 sperm or more, likely to have this in his library anyway. In any event, Rav Moshe is now aware and is told about this. Now, briefly, here I'll let you in a little bit on the secret. I'll soon talk about a correspondence that I had with Rabbi Lange. Immediately in 1975, when this problem arose, Rabbi Lange, who was a fine, from Jew, the Talmud Chacham, and you'll soon see what a wonderful Talmud Chacham he was, and one who recognized the ability of Israel. He was not about to start off with Rav Moshe or any other government in Israel. He would certainly listen to any government in Israel had to tell him. But he was in a quandary. And you can understand his quandary. On the one hand, he was absolutely certain this was the Torah of the Yehuda Chassid. On the other hand, he was being told by the government in Israel that he can't publish this Torah. And there are really very serious issues at stake here, among them, whether you have Torah in your hand, whether you're allowed to suppress it, and so on and so forth. So he sent letters to friends of his. I know I'm one of the people that got letters from him. And I have those letters with me. And they're very sad letters, but they were letters about what do I do? What do I do? I believe on one hand, I am absolutely certain this was written by Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, and on the other hand, I've been told I'm not allowed to publish this. What do I do? And it wasn't that he wasn't going to listen to the Dover Yisrael. He just wanted to know what options he had. And what evidence he presented to the Gedolei Yisrael that might persuade them otherwise. So I'm the one who sat down and prepared a list for him of Rishonim who cite these passages from Yehuda Chassid. And these Sfarim are all in print and available. And they were printed from the year 1500 on. And all these Gedolei Yisrael published these Divrei Torah in the name of Yehuda Chassid didn't seem to trouble them. And sent it to Rabbi Lange. Rabbi Lange immediately sent a letter to Rav Moshe and specifically pointed to the Tziyuni al Torah and showed it to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe was shown the passage, and now we continue. Avozei no metaretz klum. Ramosha dismisses the evidence from Sefer Tziyuni, Shevadai Ukfira Bepur. Ramosha is absolutely right. If it's Kfira, it's Kfira. I don't care where it is and who wrote it. It's Kfira. And you showed me that it's in a Sefer, doesn't change the fact that it's Kfira. Mishayomar Zeh Ukfira Bepur. I don't care who says it, it's Kfira Bepur. The Gaminyim Gibuf of Dovid HaMelech. In this particular passage, we'll come to one or two of the passages later, is not only Kfira, but it is blaspheming, as it were, of Dovid HaMelech. It is an insult to Dovid HaMelech. And in any event, we don't know for sure who Reb Menachem Tziyuni was. Uchemira, Sheheekik, Masha Nimsa, Be'ezer, Sefer, Al-Shem, Rehuda, Apostle, Veloihun. And if he copied it, so he probably found it in the same manuscript that maybe Rabbi Lango found it. So he had that manuscript. He copied it. Didn't read it carefully. Incorporated it in his book. Had he read it carefully, he would have been aware, just as I am, that it's up in places. Aniyo Yisi Omer, Ramosha says, she also linkor v'litnos gan sefer tziyuni. Ramosha says it's not just the perish of the apostle that shouldn't be bought and sold and be printed at all. But in fact, I would say that Sefer Tziyuni can no longer be bought and sold. Ne'achas shenimsa dov dvar kfiro zo tov lichto zel v'dole eres yisrael. And make sure, good idea to send a copy of my tshuva, v'dole eres yisrael. Let's go to the final tshuva. The date is Yudches Tamuz Tov Shin Lamed Vav. So this is July of 1976, approximately half a year later. Ramosha writes that he went through the Sefer and he found some more offensive passages. He describes those offensive passages. I'll just summarize the tshuva for you in the interest of saving time. Ramosha says that, in fact, the whole Sefer needs to be banned. It's impossible to distinguish between which passages are legitimate and which passages are not. And I'll just go to the last paragraph on the last page, so we'll see the Pesach Halacha. Beginning with Ibn Kain, the last two paragraphs. The Ibn Kain on the last page. Ibn Kain, the Sefer Shalechot Merabaseinu Sherishon Zifu, any Sefer of our rabbis which was forged by wicked people, the custom shom she tigris a Sefer Dibre Kfira, and they inserted into the book that they copied heretical comments, Lahato says the Olam to mislead the world, the Havana, Shiyomu Shaitadik, Agobo Hasushom, and Kosovet, ascribing it to the Yehuda Chassid in this particular case. Shevada aim the smoke on Masha Notzi, Misham, Masha Rilu. It doesn't help to censor out the passages that are problematic. Shevada Yepsha Shaharbe Gvorim Lo Rilu Lufum Liyato. In our quickness in reading the book, we may have missed some problematic passages. The Torah Gam Levayar, Mamash Gam Ayedei Sreifo, the book should be burned. Huz Chus Hayoser Godol Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. The greatest merit for Yehuda Chassid is to destroy this book. It's a greater chesed to destroy this volume than even to retain those good passages which might have helped some people. No one has an obligation to learn every sefer that was ever written. We won't live long enough to do this. It's impossible to read every sefer, therefore you don't have to read every sefer. So you might as well select and study those books that have retained renown and have no problems with them. Since the book now has been made public, it already been published by the time this tshuva is written, there's no need for me to hide the matter. The Sefer HaNitkas al HaKumish Mishen Rebbe Yehuda HaKosid Umizuya Tzorek Levaro Min HaOlam. The Sefer Yehuda HaKosid needs to be destroyed. Now I'm holding the Sefer in front of me. It was not destroyed. It's not readily available now in forum stores, but many, many Jews own copies. And there are two copies available, two copies in existence. There's two different kinds of copies. The one copy that I'm holding in my hand, Perish Rebbe Yehuda HaKosid, Al HaTorah, is uncensored. This is the entire manuscript, as Rabbi Lander copied it, and as Rabbi Lander decided to print it. We'll soon discuss under what circumstances now. This was printed, was distributed in Chutz La'aretz, but not in Eretz Yisrael. This was sold in all the storm stores, legalizing the time Elheim and many of the famous Jewish bookshops all sold this sefer. There is another version of this sefer that was published at the same time, and I'll simply describe what happened. This is a censored version. And three passages, not four as Moshe wanted, but three passages have been removed from the sefer. And briefly, what happened was as follows. Rabbi Lander came to Eretz Yisrael, and he received a call from Rabbi Auerbach and Rabbi Eliashiv. He was ordered to appear before them privately. It was not an official court ruling. He was ordered to appear, and he was delighted to do so. Anybody would be delighted to meet these great devotees. He came to meet them, and they discussed the book. They had already heard, of course, from Rabbi Levi in Zurich. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman went very carefully through the book. And the Shlomo Zalman said, there are three passages that are problematic. You can't print those passages. And Rabbi Lange presented all his arguments, it was to no avail. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, very wisely, he said, look, maybe Rabbi Yehuda Kostas wrote those passages. I don't know if he did write those passages, he didn't write those passages. What I know is that those passages will mislead many. And so long as the passages will mislead many, you can't print them. That's what he told Rabbi Lange. And it was at that point that I and others received letters from Rabbi Lange. So Rabbi Lange entered into negotiation with Rabbi Auerbach and Rabbi Eliashiv. And they said, they reached an agreement. And the agreement was that Rabbi Lange was prepared in Eretz Yisrael, that was the agreement, not to allow the entire book to be published as it was in Switzerland. Now there's only one edition, it actually was only printed once. But what Rabbi Auerbach required was is that three pages be torn out from all the copies that would be sold in Eretz Yisrael. Those three pages would have to be reprinted, missing the offensive passages, and then those newly set pages would be pasted in the book, and that's exactly what I have here in the censored copy of the sefer. You can look carefully and you can see that three pages were torn out in their place. Another page was pasted in, and of course when you compare one book to the other, you can immediately locate the passages that were removed from the volume. It also says at the beginning that some passages were removed from the sefer. This is what Rabbi Lange agreed to. Rabbi Lange said, I can't simply remove passages. So they told him, if you want to, you can put in the beginning of the sefer that you remove passages at the request of Rabbanei Yisrael, which is what he did. Several passages were removed, for whatever reason. So it's in the Hakama, so you're not without they refused to do that. They said, in Torah, that's not offensive, sure looks like the Torah of Yehuda Chassid, and that should be published, and indeed it was published, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Israel. Now I want to get to the larger issues of Torah and HaShemayah. And stop me with that. You might as well talk about Parshat HaShavuah as a sample. Parshat HaShavuah, I mean the Parshat that we're going to read next Shabbat. Listen carefully so that you can follow what I'm about to say. Parshat Trumah, there's a pasuk that means, this is Shmot Tatei Chavdei. V'noad b'cha sham v'dibarti b'cha ne'al ha-kaporet. Hashem is speaking, and Hashem says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu that I will meet with you there. I will speak to you from the kaporet, from the cover of the Aron. Uten shnei ha-kruvim asher ha-aron ha-idut eit kol asher ha-tzave otcha v'bnei Yisrael. Rashi and Old Mepharshim explain immediately that this last tag, Eit Kol Asher Atzave Otcha El Bnei Yisrael, all the matters that I will command you to say unto Israel, this really belongs to the beginning of the verse. In other words, listen to the whole verse and then you can see how to put it together. Noad v'yitha sham v'divarti yitcha me'al ha'kaporet v'ben shnei ha'kuvim asher al aron le'idut
Eight kol asher atzad elchad adonai Yisrael.
First, what is it that you will, that I will speak to you? V'divarti micha, what?
Eight kol asher atzad elchad adonai Yisrael.
All that I will command you. Rashi, on this pasuk, says, on eight kol asher atzadeh otcha ebnei Yisrael. Harei vav yiteira utteira. This vav is superfluous. I'll be more precise. You know Rashi always has a lemma. Rashi begins with a incipit, a headline. Somebody has a chumash in front of them, you will attest to the fact that I'm not inventing. What does Rashi say? What's the first word in the headline? Ve'es kol asher atzad ve'osto v'nei Yisrael harei vav yisera v'tzeva. This vav, Rashi says, is superfluous. Which vav is superfluous? There is no vav. In our Torah it says, Eis kol asher atzad ve'osto v'nei Yisrael. It is so superfluous it's not even there. Rashi says, Ve'es kol asher atzad ve'osto. Harei vav yisera v'tzeva. Now this is not a vav or a yud, that's taseros from yisera. The vav of the ace, if in the Torah it says the ace, if it really said the ace, and you're missing that vav, you have a pasul sefer Torah, by every definition of Torah. And if it says ace, and it shouldn't be the ace, and you put in the vav, again you have a pasul sefer Torah, by any definition of Torah. If Rashi is right, all our Sifrei Torah are pasul. And if our Sifrei Torah are correct, then Rashi's Sifrei Torah was pasul. You wait, thank you. Now, I'm just raising a problem. I could raise this problem from any parsha in the Torah. I'm just taking this from this parsha. What this says, and if now, if you really want to know the answer is very simple. We actually have Tikveyad of the Torah from the time of Rashi. And many of the Kitveyat have Vav Alukhah. The halakha today is that we don't have that Vav, we just read Alukhah. Because we should know this halakha, the halakha is in writing Sifrei Torah, and of course there are various manuscripts of Sifrei Torah in the whole Sifrei Tanakh, and halakha is Holchin Achar HaRov. Halakha is, we follow the majority of manuscripts, and the great, if you go live in various centuries, like the Rema, the Meir HaLevi HaLevafia, and later authorities, the Yichat Shai in Italy, the still later authorities, and the great Gedolim in Hungary, the Shlomo Gansfri, or the sacred called Keset HaSofer, all these great rabbis in their areas, in Hungary, in Italy, in Spain, and so on, examined all the manuscripts in their areas, saw that there were differences, and the halakha is we follow the majority of manuscripts, and that becomes the halakha for that area. So Teimani Sifrei Torah are not the same as Sifrei Torah in the world. And anyone who studies Sifrei Torah will know that many egos have slight variants, not important variants, but slight variants. Not just the word dakha, many, many. And here, just giving a sample from Rashi, the vav, which a very crucial vav, and although it doesn't really change the meaning of the verse, you can render the sefer Torah as sefer. This principle goes back to a Gemara, and I want to bring this to your attention. This is a Gemara, Yerushalmi Ta'anit. In Yerushalmi Ta'anit, the rabbis say as follows, Gimu Sfarim Matsu Ba'azara. And the Jews return the Second Temple times to Eretz Yisrael, they found three texts of the Torah. Sefer Ma'oni, Sefer Zatuti, Sefer Him. Ve'echad matzu katur Ma'on Elokei Kedem, Ve'ishtayim katur Ne'ona Elokei Kedem. The difference is in the Sefer Torah, in the time of the rabbis. Ve'kimu Ushnayim, Ubitu Echad. Ve'echad matzu, Ve'yishlach et Zatute b'nei Yisrael, Ve'ishtayim katur, Ve'yishlach et Na'arei b'nei Yisrael. Kimu Shnayim and Bidlu Echad. Again, Chazal were very careful. They followed this rule that when there are differences in manuscripts, and they recognized that there were differences in manuscripts, we follow the majority. Well, now I have a problem.
And that's why I want to be sure to understand the problem. The problem is, so what is Kala Nashama? Rashi could have a vav, and our Sutra Kala don't have the vav. How can I say that the A principle of the Rambam is that the Sefer Torah we have today, every letter of the Sefer Torah today, is the Sefer Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu? If our Sefer Torah don't agree with each other. If the Gemara itself tells us that you follow two out of three Sfarim, that's what Chazal did. When you follow two out of three Sfarim, it's a wonderful principle. It's a principle that we always follow in Halakha, Acharei Ladin Ma'akov. But the question is, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? How do I know that the two out of the three deserve the text as Moshe Rabbeinu did? I mentioned, Rav Moshe mentioned, I didn't mention the text of Avot Rabbi Natan. Ezra wrote letters, he put dots on those letters. But the portion wrote about that. Every manuscript of Avot Rabbi Natan that was ever written and is still extant has that passage. There's no exception. Every parshan on Avot Rabbi Natan, and that includes the Gaon of Vilna, had that passage, and one of them said this passage is a mistake. Quite the opposite. Many of the Farshim interpret it exactly as Rav Moshe rejects it. Not only that, that very passage in Avot Rabbi Natan that Rav Moshe says needs to be removed from the corpus of Jewish literature because it's mistaken. It's a Girsah Mudeh. That very passage occurs in Medrash Rabbah exactly as it appears in Avot Rabbi Natan. And no one ever raised any questions about the passage in Medrash Rabbah. This is in Bamidbar Rabbah, Yem Beperek Gimel. Yesh Omrim Lama Nakud, Velechacha Mar Ezra Im Yavo Eliyahu Viyomar Lama Katavto Otan, Omar Lo Kvar Natadeti Alein. Im Yomar Li Yavte Katavto Kvar, Em Chok Nikudoteen Me Alein. This is Medrash Rabbah, in all standards, with many conditions of Medrash Rabbah. The three offenses, now, maybe I should, at this point, clue you in on what it is that you find in Sefer Yehudapas. Essentially, what you find is, what Yehudapas is saying, at three different places in his commentary, something that is strange, make no mistake about it, and one can't blame the Moshe at all 46. Three different places, where Yehudapas allegedly said, that either verses in the Torah were written here, inserted into the Torah by a Navi. He would sometimes say Anshei Knesset HaGolah, he would sometimes say Yehoshua, as the case would be. Or in one instance, what the Yehuda Chassid said was that a passage that was in the Torah was removed from the Torah by David HaMelech and inserted into Tehillim. So, the Yehuda Chassid in these very strange passages, and as I say, one can understand why Rav Moshe would be less than thrilled when he saw these passages. On the other hand, every one of these passages is already cited by the Rishonim in the name of Yehuda Chassid. I already mentioned the Tziyuni ala Torah is one sample. Just to give you another sample, another one of those three passages appears in a collection known as the Sefer Moshav's Kenim, which is Balei Tosafot ala Torah. The commentaries of the Tosafot ala Torah. This was published by Rabbi Solomon David Sassoon, who I know was a very good friend of Rabbi Shammah, and was a great Talmid Chacham. He was here very often in New York, and was a great Jew, supported many Sephardic Torah institutions, and a chabir of various Sfarim. He edited a manuscript from his father's library. His father, Rabbi David Sassoon, was one of the great collectors of all time. And his father had a copy of the Balei Tosafot ala Torah. In this Balei Tosafot ala Torah, one of the three passages is cited that the Moshe banned, and it's cited in the name of the Yehuda Chassid. It didn't seem to trouble the Balei Tosafot, it didn't trouble Rabbi Sassoon. This was published in London in 1959, was sold in all storm shops everywhere. No one ever said, well, of course, nobody read it. it was here. What is here? Anyone who learns Shas, you know, this will be the last issue that I want to raise, and then I'll move to solutions. And with that, we'll close. Anyone who learns Shas will know that the Gemara regularly cites Sukkim somewhat differently than our printed Hebrew Bibles, what's known as the Masoretic Text, our Tanakh. There's a very famous Tosfos, Maseches Shabbos, Nun Hei Yom Beis, Dibur HaMaskil Ma'aviram. The Tosfos says already, and Paskin's Aloha Tosfos says, the verses of Tanakh, including the Torah, as cited in Shas, Holkin Alasforim Shalom. Shas does not agree with our manuscripts in his day of the Hebrew Bible. There are differences between the Balei HaMesorah, their text, the Aleppo Codex, if you like, and the text of Sukkim as recited in the Gemara. Now, as more and more Talmuds are printed, as the Vilna Shas gets improved with new editions, the Talmud Shas and so on, the new printers correct the alleged errors of the first editions of Shas and redo the Sukkim so they should be exactly like the Masoretic Test. This is the worst Talmud that could possibly be done. Because the early printed editions of the Talmud followed the manuscripts and preserved the Nusrach of Tanakh as the Chazal had it, as Rabbi Akiva had it, as Rabbi Yehuda HaNossi had it, and what more would you want to preserve in the text as they have? So Tosfos already recognized there's this difference, and Tosfos essentially asking for all the road. Tosfos saying, yes, there are differences, and we follow the Masoretic text. That is the whole thing. When we write a Sefer Torah, when we copy or print editions of Tanakh, we follow the Masoretic text, and not any differences that we find in various places in Chazal. And we leave it at that. That was Tosafot's solution. That, as a matter of fact, in Spain, the other Rishonim, the Rashba, who thought otherwise. And the Rashba, in the famous Tshuva, writes that while all those passages of Tanakh cited in the Gemara that differ from our manuscripts can be dismissed if they're in a Agadic context, but when passages of Tanakh are cited in the Gemara in Halachic context, it is obligatory on all Jews to correct all their Sifrei Torah and all their Tanakh in the light of the Nusach, the version as it appears in the Talmud. But that was a tshuva of the Rashba that was rejected out of hand by the Balei HaTosfot, and Tosfot won the day. Halacha in 1994 is not like the Rashba. And that is why we continue to follow the Masoretic text, and within the variants of Masoretic text, the rule is Holkin Achar HaRov. So what do we do with all these problems? This crucial issue of Torah and HaShemayim. I'd like to present two solutions that appear in the literature that were stated by Galei Yisrael, and I'm going to cite the sources. And these are honest attempts to come to grips with all the evidence. It is much more than I could possibly present here, but at least I think it will move us in the right direction. First, we believe that the Torah, our Torah, was indeed revealed by God to Moshe Rabbeinu. Every letter, every word, and every pasuk is divinely inspired and was given by God to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu recorded it as a lavlar, exactly as the Rambam said. And that is the doctrine of Torah and Hashemayim. But the period of revelation needs to be distinguished from the period of transmission. Once the Torah was given over to us, the human beings copy that Torah. Human beings make mistakes. I don't know if it ever happened to you. I'm sure it happened to many of you here. You walked into a shul on Shabbos, you got an aliyah to the Torah, the Baal Koreh read, you looked at the Torah, perhaps read with him quietly, and you see an error in the sacred Torah. It happens very quickly. Mistake in the Sefer Torah. How could there be a mistake in the Sefer Torah? It's divinely inspired. This is the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the Sefer Torah that God revealed to Moses. Every letter, it says, in the eighth principle of Jewish faith. Yes, it was revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's been copied for hundreds and hundreds of years and for many centuries by Jews. And while Jews have done a very good job of more or less faithfully recording and copying the Sefer Torah, I resent it. I'll never forget, I once was in a small town called McKeesport, Pennsylvania, maybe 10 years ago. This was a town that had a minyan of 20 Jews in this particular shul. The average age was 80. And I got an aliyah, and the Bar Kori read, and I saw immediately the worst error that I've ever seen in the Sefer Torah. Four consecutive letters mistaken. Four consecutive letters. I stopped the Bar Kori and indicated that this is a terrible mistake in the Torah. We have to close the Torah and bring out another Sefer Torah. And I saw that they were all very upset. One reason was they only had two Sefer Torah, but the other reason was that they told me they'd been laying from this Sefer Torah for 35 years. And no one had ever seen this mistake. Four consecutive letters mistake. So I'm simply indicating there are errors can creep in. Now we catch them. Of course, they're immediately corrected. You're not allowed to read from a Sefer that's not new yet. You have to correct the Sefer Torah. We're still human beings. Errors can enter into the Sefer Torah. So, on the one hand, I think the formulation of Torah in the Sinai is unequivocal and it's clear. We do believe that the entire Torah, almost exactly as we have it, if you like, was given by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. The entire Torah was given by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu. But we have to take into account that after several thousands of years, much copying of the Sefer Torah, as the Gemara already says, we're not continuing the Kaseros and the Seros, and as is clear from other Talmudic passages, there are other things that we're not continuing about at all. It might come as a surprise to some of you to know that one of the great Russian yeshivos of the 20th century, Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, the Rosh Yeshiva of Nei Yisrael, published a book. It is edited by Rabbi Mordechai Blumenfeld. I do not know who he is, other than that he is a graduate of Nei Yisrael Yeshiva. It is called Fundamentals and Faith, and there's a description of every one of the 13 principles of Jewish faith. And when he gets to the 8th principle, listen to what Rabbi Weinberg said, the Rosh Yeshiva of Nei Yisrael. It is difficult to understand Animamin literally, that the Torah we now possess is the same Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It is true that as long as the temple stood and the Torah scroll which Moshe Rabbeinu wrote was kept there, the Jewish people had a standard in which to compare all new Torah scrolls that were written. But we are told that after the destruction of the temple, when Ezra returned to Israel, he found three Torah scrolls. Weinberg is citing the passage that I mentioned from the Yerushalmi Talmud. He found three Torah scrolls which were either considered valid. There must be some printers there. Even so, he found three Torah scrolls which were either, if anyone could suggest an emendation, that would make sense here, I don't know. Anyway, even so, there were minor discrepancies. I think what he means is they were all considered valid. I don't think they were either is being there. They found three Torah scrolls. They don't mean they found three puzzle Torah scrolls. They found three kosher Torah scrolls. All right? Excuse me? Nor does it say that. It says they found in the Azara three temple scrolls.
That's what they must have been laying in Babel.
Yes,
but
the Gemara says when they came back there to Israel, they found in the Azara three scrolls. That's the Lashon of Gemara. So Gemara, Yerushalmi, in the temple area, they found three scrolls. That's what the Gemara says. Again, the Gemara doesn't say they brought it from Babel. The Gemara simply says when they came back, they found three scrolls in the Azara. So that's what the Gemara says. Okay? I'll be happy to take questions. It's irrelevant for our purposes right now. The crucial issue is what Rabbi Weinberg has to say. Okay. We pick up Rabbi Weinberg's account. Even so, there were minor discrepancies among them, which were maintained or discarded depending on whether they appeared in two of the three scrolls. Although the Torah itself instructs Jews to follow the majority in making a decision, one suspects that after many such occurrences, his decisions are not going to produce absolutely accurate reproductions of the original Sinai versions. The Rambam knew very well that these variations existed when he defined his principles. The words of Animamin and the words of the Rambam, the entire Torah in our possession today, must not be taken literally. Now, don't misunderstand this, and don't quote it out of context. I gave you the exact reference, but what Rabbi Weinberg is saying is everything that I said tonight. Examine all the evidence, you're open to what Chazal had to say. What Chazal said was that while we've done everything we humanly can to preserve our text, in the light of the Dead Sea Scrolls, some of you may know that we now know that the Masoretic text is a very fine version of the Hebrew Bible. We now have copies from the Dead Sea Scrolls that prove that Chazal did very well and the Masoretes did very well in preserving our text. We have nothing to be ashamed of, but that's not quite the same as saying every letter of the text that we have today is exactly the way it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. If you're going to say that, you will have a very difficult time understanding passages in Chazal, Yavot and Rinatan, and other passages that I mentioned. Once the Torah was given over to Bnei Yisrael, it was subject to the vicissitudes of human textual transmission. Human scribes make errors. And this, what I just described for you, accounts for many of the passages in Chazal that I mentioned. And we have to bear that in mind as we try to understand the principle of Torah and Hashanah. Second, and the last of what I want to discuss with regard to Torah and Hashanah, there's another issue which needs to be mentioned, and this will account for the passages in the Yehuda Chassid and the passages in Avot Rabbi Natan, because what I just said about textual transmission is not going to resolve the passages in the Yehuda Chassid who claim that Yoshua wrote some psukim and inserted them into the Torah, or the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah wrote some psukim and inserted them into the Torah. This has nothing to do with textual transmission. It seems clear that there was a minority view among the Rishonim. Reb Moshe reflects the Rambam's view, and indeed the majority of them. There was also a minority opinion that understood the Rambam, at least, differently than we understand it today. And it's very clear that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid understood the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Tzadik Tet, and the Rambam's formulation as ruling out Moshe Mipi Atzmo Amaro. The Rambam stresses again and again, and what the Gemara also stresses is that anyone who says, that even one letter of the Torah, Moshe Mipi Atzmo Amaro, that Moshe said it of his own volition, it is not the word of God, it is the word of Moses, that person is a kofer. And this was understood by Rambam and Reb Moshe, which Reb Moshe is reading the Rambam to mean that every letter of the Torah has to be written by Moshe Rabbeinu as revealed to Moshe by God. That's not how Reb Yehuda Chassid understood. Reb Yehuda Chassid and others say very openly that what that Gemara means is we will not allow any pasuk, word, or letter of the Torah to be written by a human being and not divinely inspired. It cannot be miti atzmo amaro. He said it of his own accord. The stress is not so much on Moshe, it could be anybody. If it's miti atzmo amaro, it has no business being in the Torah. The Torah is Torah Nashamani, revealed by Hashem. But, the Yehuda Chassid said, it is possible for a Navi who is writing Nivuah, Shem Hashem, to write a letter or a word or the last day psukim as it were in the Torah. The Gemara really tells us one view that Yeshua wrote the last day psukim. It doesn't mean he wrote it in the Atzmo. Obviously, as Reb Moshe himself said in the Tshuva, that was the only way Reb Moshe could solve it. That Yeshua wrote those last day psukim, Vinuvuah, he received it in Hashem, just as Moshe received the rest of the Torah in Hashem. But the view of Hasid was, he said you can apply that principle to the period of Nivuah. Anyone who would claim today that he will insert or remove an iota from the Torah would be dismissed immediately as not the Torah, even better than the Torah. But the claim that a Navi had the right, not by the way, Chas V'Shalom, to add a mitzvah or remove a mitzvah, that's Elah HaMitzvah. can't add commandments. Only Moshe Rabbeinu is the lawyer. But to add narrative, to add a word or a letter, it's not a mitzvah. As long as it was done al pi Hashem, then you're not in violation of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin is against Moshe pi Atzmo Amaro, not the Moshe Amaro. To combine these two approaches that I just indicated, you can have an approach to Torah Nashamayim that will fit all the evidence, all the passages in Chazal, and all the passages in the Rishonim. We're going to close now with one final passage. I want to prove to you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a sense of humor. Right here in Brooklyn, in 1990, a sefer was published. By a famous author. The name of the sefer is Mishneh Halachot, Shelot U'Tshuvot, by Rabbi Menashe Klein, Rabbi of Ungar. And this is Mahadura Benina, Volume 2, Yoredeya, Simon Reish Yudalit. Never take my word for anything, go home, look up the text and make sure they say whatever it is I or anyone else claims they say. Menashe Klein. Now, just to remind you again, Reb Moshe, of course, banned the Sefer of Yehuda Pasad al HaTorah. He was overruled by the Golden Eretz Yisrael, who said you can publish the Sefer, but you have to remove those three passages. But Reb Moshe said the whole case of the Sefer has to be banned because these passages are Zeum Fim, they are forgeries, and in fact the whole Sefer, in effect, maybe, we don't know, may be a forgery. And written by a forger who ascribed this Sefer to Rabbi Yehuda Pasad. Here is a tshuva by Rabbi Menashe Klein, written and published in 1990. Malas Pro Gididi Harav Hagona Mefusa Morim Rav Shalom Weiss Ordezden Ohel Franz Uhe in Hungarian Balm Tadus Forum Hab. So it's a letter from Rabbi Menashe Klein to another famous rabbi living here in Borough Park, Rabbi Shalom Weiss. Avar Asher Tama Masher Roa B'Sefer Midrash Moshe. You were amazed that you saw in the Midrash Moshe the Moshe Shekosav Shesefer HaTziyuni L'Roa Me'Ola. Moshe said he doesn't know what the Sefer Tziyuni is. He don't know who the Tziyuni was. And therefore, if you remember, he dismissed the Tziyuni. And he said that Sefer should also not be bought and sold. Menashe Klein said, I'm also amazed. I don't understand. Now I will tell you what he doesn't say. There's a very famous Sefer by the Chida, Yosef Chaim David Azulai, one of the great Sfaradim, in the 18th and early 19th century. Sefer is called Shem HaGdolim. It lists all the famous Rabbanim who lived prior to the Chida, including some contemporaries of his, and all Sfarim. And there's an entry on Siyuni. And on Siyuni ala Torah, in the Chida, says as follows. Siyuni chibro harab Rabbi Menachem Siyuni ala Torah, al pi hasod. Is a Jewish mystical word. Yesh bo chidushim noranim. Norim here means awesome, not terrible. Yesh bo chidushim noranim. This is an awesome book. Vanasifro ala Zohar, the Sefer of Ahir, Uperush Ramban, etc. and so forth. And it is one of the great works of Kabbalah. Uhayab, Meishpayer, he was from Germany, the city of Speyer. Nipas, Pikremone, Shmashimpa. We know who the Tziyuni was. He was a great Gadol, he was a great Mikubai. And Rabbi Weiss raised the question with Rabbi Menashe Klein, because Rabbi Weiss studies Kabbalah, and Rabbi Menashe Klein also knows Kabbalah. So they both say they're very surprised. And now comes where God has a sense of humor. So says Rabbi Klein at the end of his tshuva, Avol Oemes Kilo Amin. I don't believe that Reb Moshe Feinstein ever wrote that tshuva. You have to tell me. Elo nira lefi ani yizdati, it appears to me, she'eze talmid toer kosu. A student inserted this in the Yigros Moshe. V'ichniso ben mikhtava v'yachar kinrasa. and was placed into his writings after he died. Yedeh Zarim Shoftu Bo, Tova Atzmo Bin Lan Gadol. It was inserted by somebody into Reb Moshe who wanted to ascribe this to Reb Moshe Feinstein. A brother's Baruch who has a sense of humor. Thank you very much.
On the concept that a Navi would change a word, we have the Megillah comes to tell us quietly that Nebuchadnezzar could not change a word, but you got to write something else. But certainly if the king of Melech Masar Adam doesn't change a word, but Melech Masar Amlachim doesn't change a word. Brings us other Nebuot as we have in the being. But how do they square that with the concept of the Navi changing something retroactively? Does the Baruch change his mind in the Torah?
No, I don't think, I'll tell you how they square it, and they say this openly. There is a Perush on Ibn Ezra called Sofnat Panea, a Perush on Ibn Ezra written by a Rishon, a Reb Yosef Bonfil. And he was one of those like Reb Yehuda Chassid, who helped like Reb Yehuda Chassid that it was legitimate for a Navi to add a word or narrative, like a gloss. Now, what they say is as follows. Not Hashem changing his mind about anything. What we're talking about is a gloss that might explain a word, a letter that might make something clearer. That's for showing they would never allow anything to change, and nothing to do with mitzvot. They rule out on the basis of the Gemara and Megillah. Eila ha-mitzvot, these are the mitzvot, no one can add or detract from any of the mitzvot. All they said was is that there are certain places in the Torah where a Navi, Ati Hashem, is the same God. Navi can't do it on his own volition. If God appears to a prophet, a true prophet, and orders the prophet, like, notice what I read to Yavo Servi Nassan. There you have the principle. What he says is, if Eliyahu should come, Eliyahu is a Navi. If Eliyahu comes and tells me, remove the dots, I will remove the dots. If Eliyahu tells me that these letters shouldn't be there, that's why I wrote the dots. Eliyahu HaNavi has the authority to do this, not on his own. The same God that revealed the Torah to Moshe, the same God who revealed Nevuah to prophets. That's their understanding. That's the view that we find in this. It's a minority opinion, but we find it in the Mishnah. So Nebuchadnezzar can't do this. No false prophet can do this. No Bible scholar can do this. A Navi can do this. And no one but a Navi.
But then there was a family saying, I think this is the way it was. The God will tell me that this is the way it was. We'll remove the dots. Right. He'll tell me that it wasn't this way. We'll remove the letter.
Okay, which means...
But he wasn't trying to get in a Kaddish. He was trying to correct.
That's right. But then God can correct. That's a good sample. What I'm saying is, supposing errors occurred in the sacred Torah. You know what? I'll tell you something Sam Sofer once said. We'll see how far it goes. And now you'll get a sense of it. What Sam Sofer said was very troubled also by he knew full well that we follow the majority of manuscripts. So it turns out that our sacred Torah, in effect, are not necessarily the sacred Torah written by Moshe. That's the reality. So that Sam Sofer said that I put in, this is his view, and not everybody agrees with this view, but just to tell you what he said. Sofer held that min ha-shamayim, yes, it's true that various times errors crept in, and min ha-shamayim God sees to it that the majority of texts ultimately prevail, and that majority is what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. That was what Sam Sofer did. Right? That somehow min ha-shamayim is arranged. And when you have to find the majority, that majority will be. He says specifically with the three Svarim that were found, the two Svarim, the rule was according to the two Svarim against the single Sefer that disagreed with the two Svarim, because min ha-shamayim, the two Svarim preserved the Torah as it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. There you have a view of Sam Sofer. All I'm saying is, the Gedolei Yisrael believe that Hashem acts in history. He reveals himself not only through Moshe Rabbeinu, but through Nevi'im as well, and indeed, through the rest of world history, not just through the Nevi'im, but in terms of putting a letter into the Torah or in Tanakh, that's reserved only to the Nevi'im by this minority. Yes.
Can you explain the Professor, there's two instances in the Torah that I'd like some explanation from you. One is the gloss, and it says, "Behakina ani az da'arit shabashat leif lecha." How could you, it sounds like it was settlement of Israel.
It's a famous question. Very briefly, for those unfamiliar with the question, it says in the Parshat Lech Lecha, describing that when Avraham comes to Eretz Yisrael, Haknani Az Ba'aretz, the Canaanites were then in the land. And the problem is that the Sefer Torah is written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was in the land? The Canaanites. In other words, it sounds like the Canaanites were then in the land, but they're not now in the land. Only if the Canaanites were no longer in the land would it be necessary to write Haknani Az Ba'aretz. That's the argument. Therefore, the claim goes further, that only a person living in Eretz Yisrael, when Jews were living in Eretz Yisrael, would write, Haknani Az Ba'aretz. It would be necessary to say, if you want to understand what life was like in the time of Avraham Avinu, you have to realize we weren't in Eretz Yisrael at the time, Haknani was there then. That's the argument. Just stop you for a minute. And there are a lot of simple explanations. Indeed, the minority opinion that I mentioned will solve it very quickly. But we don't have to come to the minority opinion. But at least since you raise it, as a matter of fact, the Sefer Tzoknas Panea by Rav Yosef von Fiel says the first. Here is one of the psukim, one of the glosses, that was written by a Navi, a Pi Hashem, in the period of Nevuah. It was written by Yashar Tetzis Angola. They put in the words, Vachnani Yazaret. This is legitimate, allowed to be done, that's what it's doing there. And you're absolutely right. In other words, yes, the implication is only someone living in Eretz Yisrael could have written Haknani Az Ba'aretz, because now Israelites are living in the land. That's right. It was written in the time of Anshei Knesset Hagolah, and that's why it's in the Torah and it belongs there. That's the minority opinion. You don't need a minority opinion. There are Ramban and Ibn Ezra himself and many others already raised the issue, and they, first of all, they said very simply, one way of reading Haknani Az Ba'aretz is that the Knani already then was in the land. Not the Knanim were then in the land, but now they're not there. One simple sense of it, the Knanim already then, not only in my time, Moshe Rabbeinu, as I rightly say before, are the Knan there, they were already there when Avraham was there. That's why he met Hittites and so on and so forth in Eretz Yisrael. Right? I'm just going to give you one sample. Then he was many other such perushim are available. Take a look at Ramban and Ezra and so on. You don't even have to come to the
narrative.
In Ezra, at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, no, he doesn't just say Hamas Kiridon. No, listen carefully. Ezra gives you two options. In Ezra, very often gives you two options. And one of the options that read in Ezra regularly gives, whenever you have a pasuk, says, Vayirdo Padan. Abraham ran to Dan. You open up Sefer Shoftim and you'll find out that he received his name in the time of Shoftim. It used to be called Leshem. How could it say in the Torah, Vayirdo Padan? In Ezra and all the Farshim say, Derech Nivu'ah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest prophet that ever lived. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's no problem for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say that Avraham ran to Dan, even though, let's say, in Avraham's time, the name of the place was Leshem. But they're using the name that all readers will know.
How did you say that was improphetic? Because Dan's allotment was in the southwest. Dan only took the north after Shoftim.
There were many Dons.
Because they couldn't conquer the southwest.
It doesn't matter. There's more than one Don in Eretz Israel. There's certainly a Don to the northeast.
But the prophetic allotment was in the southwest, not in the northeast.
Okay. The fact is, there's a city upwards that was called, there are several Dons. By the way, Ramban and others say there isn't only one Don. That's the simple answer. You want to know how could it say by Yidu Padan? This is not referring to the Don in Sefer Shoftim. This is another Don. The Dons are in different parts of Eretz Israel. There's not just one Don. So many Rishonim. But anyway, I just want to take the simple answer. Derech Nivuah. And Ibn Ezra himself says it many times. Derech Nivuah. The Torah can, God certainly, and Moshe Rabbeinu as his Navi, had every right to use terms that would first come into usage in the time of the Nevi'im and so on. They're writing the Torah before the road. They have the privilege to do that. Now, if that doesn't satisfy you, you have this other option, this beautiful option of Rav Yehuda Chassid. It's a minority option, but as I say, several Rishonim follow this option, namely, that in fact, there are glosses in the Torah, and these glosses were written either by Yoshua, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, or Anshei Knesset HaGolah. And Anshei Knesset HaGolah gets you down to the end of the Biblical tradition. That's pretty much. No one in all of Jewish history, Bo Gadol B'Yisrael, to the best of my knowledge, ever suggested a gloss that was added to the Torah by a non-Jewish prophet. It is confined to a Navi, no one else.
I'd like you to elaborate on that passage in front of your Shalom Khanis that's provided with that one before and well, elaborate on that day. Why does David HaMelech take out the Torah? I mean, what was the purpose of taking out the one conversion?
You start to the first question of we don't have authoritative statements on what Jews had in Bava, what they brought back with them to Eretz Yisrael, what was discovered in. There's a famous Radak. The Radak asks why there are so many differences between Divrei HaYamim and Melachim and so on, and how do we account for varying readings and manuscripts. And Radak suggests it was the Galut into Babel that led to many manuscripts being lost. And when the Jews came back from Babel, they came back to Eretz Yisrael, they had a variety of Hebrew manuscripts in the Bible. And Radak uses this to explain in part Hebrew 3, saying that if you want to understand why we have Hebrew 3, what that reflects is different Hebrew manuscripts the Jews came back with when they came back from Babel. When Ezra collated the biblical texts, so Radak writes, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael, Ezra was the one who entered between the Tiv, and he did this because he had to preserve readings from the two best manuscripts. That's one theory. You don't have facts. You really don't know what happened in that time. What I can tell you is that the Rishonim Khanis says openly that when they returned to Eretz Yisrael, they found three Sfarim in the Azarah. Now, whether those were three Sfarim they brought from Babel, or those were three Sfarim that remained in the Azarah somehow, despite the destruction of the Yerushalayim by the Nebuchadnezzar, that's unstated by the Rishonim Khanis. I think that's the first part. Yeah, the second part. The notion that Ezra collated manuscripts of the Sefer Torah is a notion that appears in the Radak. It's not a notion that appears anywhere, to the best of my knowledge, in Tanakh. Well, I have a lot of wonderful things to say about Ezra. Ezra is the Sofer and so on, but that Ezra had in front of him a whole series of manuscripts, that he collated those manuscripts, this is the contradiction of Radak. And by the way, many of you have shown that after the Radak rejected the Radak, they didn't accept the Radak's position. But this is the Radak's position. I really can't answer your next question, which was, why did Rav Yehuda, I can't tell you why Rav Yehuda HaChassid claimed that one of the Tehillim, Hodu Hashem Kito, that whole song, Alel HaGodol, he claimed that that was once in the Torah. He said, that's such a beautiful, for several reasons, but I really shouldn't try to tell you why Rav Yehuda HaChassid allegedly said what he said. You'll have to take a look in the Sefer and you'll see. It's in Parshas Chukas. In Parshas Chukas, according to the Sefer, and by the way, this passage is preserved in other Rishonim, as a matter of fact. It's preserved in Tziyuni Yalakala also. Rav Yehuda HaChassid felt that the Shira that was sung by the Be'er could not be the Shira in the Torah. It must have been a much longer and more beautiful Shira, and he felt that the Shira that we find in Tehillim, the Halal HaGodol, which mentions, by the way,